Welcome to Fatal 4-Way Radio, brought to you by Pro Wrestling Planet, and in part by World Generation Podcast Network, starring Rancho Punk Rocker Albert Inspector and Jay West. And now, your host, Internet Radio Zone, Minister of Sinister. What's up, what's up? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show on this Tuesday. It's great of you to join us. I am Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, and I'm sitting here with Kevier West in the Hizzle. Yeah, give it up for Kevier West. That's right. And also joining us tonight, Ricky, baby. Yeah, that's right. Ricky. Give him some shout-out, some love, too. God damn it, now. Come on. Gentlemen, thank you for being here. It's great of you to join us, man. And tonight, Albert Inspected has notified that he's running a little late tonight, and that's duly noted. We got him on board coming on later on tonight, so don't you worry about that. So, Ricky Choder, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
How y'all doing?
Hey, yo, we were just catching up on a little AEW Revolution before the show.
We were.
You guys were watching, you guys drinking some cervezas over there, some nice cold ones?
We're drinking some Lone Stars.
We're drinking some Lone Stars.
Sweet,
our boys
sweet.
For WrestleMania.
Who?
What?
Nice.
Who? Mike Jones is coming back for
WrestleMania? Not Mike Jones. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin, everybody.
Yeah, Stone Cold Steve Austin, is he around tonight? Could he be around, maybe? Oh, hell. Drinking some Lone Stars? Stone Cold with the Lone Stars tonight.
We'll talk about that, I'm sure.
Sure.
Hey, yeah. So, guys, let's get on with the show, shall we? And we're going to talk about other things as well. You can tune in for a very special announcement, I guess, coming up in the top of the 10 o'clock hour or whatever hour that may be for you out there in, you know, internet land. But, yeah, at the top of the hour, we got some news coming to the show, or I don't know, maybe we'll talk about some news later on, though, but we'll get to that when we get there. Guys, let's move along with the show today. You know whose birthday it is today? Can I get a – does anybody want to do the birthday song? Who wants to do the birthday song, man?
Sing happy birthday to the wrestler.
Yeah. There's only
we're
one. There's only.
Yeah. Just sing happy, happy birthday song.
Happy birthday, funny?
Yeah.
No, happy birthday to you.
What?
Happy birthday.
What?
Keep going.
Happy birthday to birthday. It's a birthday.
On a birthday cake.
You know.
And I'm a birthday
candle. It's your birthday.
Putting up a leg.
Oh, hell.
Anyway, happy birthday,
fuckers. Right on. And, you know, we decided a while back that we were only going to do the birthday, you know, that was like of today. And so we're going to go ahead and stick with that. And so today, guys, we only have one birthday. And it is his 36th birthday for none other than Charles Betts, sometimes known as Chaz. However, currently he's best known as one half of the American Alpha, Chad Gable. Or no, wait, not American Alpha. What are they now? The
Alpha Academy?
What? Yeah, the Alpha Academy. Chad Gable. So, yeah, 36 years old. He was born in Minneapolis, guys. Yeah?
I thought you said Chaz. I thought you said Chaz, and I was thinking of that guy from the 1000.
Yeah, well, he was sometimes known as Chaz, according to this that I'm reading here.
Cool.
And he's best known, you know, of course, for being now. Now he's finally getting some TV time. I mean, I'm on Team Gable. I'm on team Alpha Academy, I should say.
For
but
the Alpha Academy?
I digress. Yeah. I like those guys. But so he was born in Minneapolis. He was a high school state champion and graduated Northern Michigan University, participated in the 2012 Summer Olympics, all right, in the 185 pounds category. Now, he advanced for the qualifying. He advanced out of qualifying, but was one and done in the final tournament by Pablo Shorey of Cuba, no less. So a year later, he signed his contract with WWE, and the rest, as they say, is history. So congratulations to Chad Gable, who actually won gold recently. He just lost his gold last night. He just lost his gold last night on Monday Night Raw, in case you were viewing that. But, nevertheless, yeah, happy fucking birthday, Chad Gable. Kevin, are you on Team Gable? I mean, I like the guy. I think he's worthy of a run.
I've always been on Team Gable. I really liked the American Alpha at first, and then,
right.
And then, you know, we thought that he was going to be Kurt Angle's son, and we got swerved.
I know.
So there's some cool like history with Gable because he's been there a while. That's the funny thing about WWE is they might have a guy for 10 years without you really realizing it.
Right.
And Gable's been there for a long time. It seems like he's been there for 6 or 7, maybe 8 years now, counting NXT. And like, he's super talented, very much like Kurt Angle, and super funny. The shoosh thing right now they're doing, they're overdoing the shoosh thing, but they always do stuff like that. So at least he's not Shorty G anymore.
Yeah, you know what? That's a big plus. And last night was the first time I noticed the shush thing. But apparently it's been around because they're actually wearing, you know, singlet that says shush on it.
It's really ramped up in the last 2 weeks, dude. They ramped it the fuck up.
Yeah.
They need to
shush up with the shush. So, yeah. Chad freaking Gable, let's see, and no other birthdays, man. That was it. That was it for the birthdays. And so let's move right along, huh? Because we got maybe even a short show tonight. Who the hell knows? So let's see here with, So now we move along into the retro, right? It's time for the retro. You guys ready for the retro? I'm not.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, we can do the retro, so let's do that now. All right.
I do love,
so,
love the song, Chuck. That's some of your best work. That's a great
thank
song.
Thank you, man. I think I have Let's Be It. It's a whole clip right here, man. I got the whole clip, man. It's like I made it a minute 10, but I was like, shit, man, I think I'm just going to be repeating myself anyway. So all these songs are like they just go one way and then they repeat itself again and then the song is over, kind of like in modern pop nowadays.
There you go.
Yeah. So in this week's retro segment brought to you by Pro Wrestling Planet, right? Brought to you by Pro Wrestling Planet. So let's move along with this. Guys, it was fucking, I wanted to talk about this one because it happened 12 years ago today. And I don't know, Kevy, I don't think you were watching this at the time. Maybe you know about it or what have you, but, I was watching it at the time. And for me, it opened up my eyes in a sense. I was like, what the fuck am I doing watching this shit? You know, well, you know, let me just read it to you. So what happened here, it was 12 years ago, and the first regularly scheduled Monday Impact, you know, it was Impact Wrestling, and they were trying to do a Monday Impact, but it had a major hook with it. to come along, because the television in-ring returns of none other than Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair.
Oh, Lord.
And for Hogan, it was his first TV match since SummerSlam 2006, when he won over Randy Orton, if you can believe that. That was during the time, awesome, though, when Orton was spitting in people's faces and shit. I think he spit on Hulk Hogan, too.
Yeah.
Those were good times. Those were good times, Orton, man. Orton was a real asshole. He beat up Hardy Race. He beat up all those guys. He was the legend killer. And for Flair, it was his first TV match since he had lost his retirement bout to Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania, what was that, 14, 16, something like that? No, 24, WrestleMania 24.
Yeah.
And so Hogan and Hogan and fucking Flair were out there, and at this time I'm like, oh man, I don't need to be watching this.
Holy shit.
What was that?
They wrestled each other on that show? Like they came back and did they have a match with each other?
No, here's the deal. This is what happened that night. It was Abyss and Hulk Hogan, and Flair and AJ Styles. They fought to a no contest.
That's pretty sick.
So, it was Abyss and Hogan and Styles and Flair. You see, because Flair was managing AJ Styles at the time. They were in that Fortune. Yeah, you remember that? Do you know of that, Fortune?
I didn't watch TNA, man, but I've gone and I've looked at, I kind of know what you're talking about. I remember when AJ was like, he was like a pretty boy heel for a little while. Like after, was that with that
wearing
era?
A suit and shit? Yeah. Yeah,
hey,
he was coming out with Flair. Yes, Ricky.
I have a question.
So, Prime Ric Flair versus Prime AJ Styles. What's the story? Like, how would that go about? Like, Prime.
How would they book the match?
AJ Styles, like Prime AJ Styles. Prime Ric Flair.
Well, it's hard to say what Prime Ric Flair was, really.
Well,
Prime Ric Flair beats
everybody up.
Ric Flair was really good at losing. Ric Flair is famous for losing.
Yeah, you're right. So you're saying that AJ Styles would be like the Dusty Rhodes?
Yeah. Ric Flair didn't get, like, major upset wins during his career. He got, like, shit-ass chicken shit wins a lot of times.
Most of the time.
And then he would lose the belt after holding it for a long time. Everybody would be like, fuck this guy, you know? So AJ Styles, that's what the story would probably be, is that, you know, Ric Flair fucking pulls some chicken shit to win against AJ Styles, who's obviously the best wrestler in the world at the time. And then AJ Styles, like, jumps in with the elbow and knocks his ass out.
I mean,
Ric Flair's not that – he's a badass wrestler.
He's good. Character he's a good wrestler. He's a very good in the ring wrestler,
mm-hmm.
and long wrestling, like very long career and shit. But it's not the same styles and stuff.
You're right. Styles.
But they work together as a team. That sounds cool. Like TNA did some cool shit, dude. And on paper, this thing sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, on paper it sounds cool. I have to have to agree with you. But, you know, they were definitely, you know, past their prime. And, in a way, you know, I guess, AJ Styles was, you know, getting the rub from Flair and stuff. And people got to know who AJ Styles was because of Ric Flair. I mean, nobody was really watching TNA then, just like never. I mean, like, nobody was ever really watching TNA. They always had low ratings. They never were able to, you know, keep the over a one or anything like that.
I've always heard that when Hogan returned was like their highest viewership.
Yes, and it was. And it was okay, but then it fizzled out soon after. You know what I mean? Shortly after. And this was probably during the time that, like, they brought in Flair and working against Hogan again. And, like, the whole thing seemed like a bunch of rehashed shit, you know. And I was like, it's time for me to tune out of this. And I did. And that's how it goes. But so let's rightfully see on that. Yeah, go ahead.
Said rightfully so.
Yeah, it just seems like you got this character real quick. Like you got this character like Hulk Hogan, who's this larger than life Superman, fucking Batman level character, right?
Yeah.
And then when you put him in TNA, you put him in another like a smaller company. It feels like to me, even if he's against Ric Flair or whoever, you put him against Sting, whatever. Like it is, it does, it really sucks for these guys because nobody, it's really hard to take like a smaller company seriously. Like those matches don't mean near as much as what like a Hogan match at WrestleMania meant, because the Hogan matches at WrestleMania are what made him into like Superman. So now you're seeing the death of Superman when you go fucking see Hulk Hogan wrestle, because he's fucking out there fucking wrestling at this small venue for the small show, like poorly managed fucking show.
Yeah.
That he's running in right. And out. Like it's just, you really watched the demise like of Hulk Hogan, like on TV, like, but you watched his wrestling career fall apart on TNA, and then you watched his actual life fall apart on his fucking reality show.
Man, and that's those are damn good points, bro.
Yeah.
It really literally did happen like that. The end of his wrestling career happened on TNA, and then, of course, his reality show was basically the end of him. And I couldn't believe there was talk of them bringing him back here recently.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
I can't cast stones at anybody, you know. I can't judge Terry Bollea, the person or whatever, but, like, I would feel comfortable saying that a lot of the shit that's happened to this guy is, like, because of his, like, the actions. Like, he did that shit to himself. Ric Flair the same kind of way, but.
Ric Flair is exactly the same
I've
kind
got
of
my
way. Ric Flair is actually pretty more, like.
I just think we've seen these guys' life. They're celebrities. We've seen everything they've done. We've seen all this shit. So nobody's seen, like, all the fucking, all of my fuck-ups, you know? So it's different.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just
yeah.
feels bad to have heroes, like, all their dirty laundry or whatever. I hate that about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have to agree with that. I definitely have to agree with that. So they fought to a no contest in that. And then, you know, as if that wasn't enough, I guess it was Dixie Carter. Somebody came out and rebooked the match again for later on in the show. And we'll get that. We'll get there, okay? We'll get there. But there's a couple of other things that I want to touch on from the same card. We had the women, Madison Rayne and Velvet Sky. I think Velvet Sky ended up going out with Bubba Ray, Big Bully Ray or whatever. They might even still be together. I'm not sure.
I remember Velvet Sky.
Yeah, okay. And then, of course, Angelina Love, and they fought against Tara and Sarita. And so, that's not really that important. However, the titles were vacated, though, when Awesome Kong came out, who had a short-lived career on WWE as well. I can't remember what her name was there. That's how short it was.
Uh-huh.
I think I spent the week. There you go. I think I spent the weekend in jail one weekend, and then she was gone just like that. Shit, man. She just fucking was gone as fast as she came in. But so she had been released from the company following an altercation with shock jock Bubba the Love Sponge.
Oh, Lord.
Add to the whole shit, right? Yes. Let's see here.
Hulk Hogan, you know, Bubba the Love Sponge, that's funny. Yeah, and I will say, too, that, like, Karma is a badass name for a female wrestler. Like, Karma is a really cool ring name.
I dig it.
Yeah, I dig it.
It's better than Awesome Kong. I mean,
Kong's a badass ring name, too, I think. But Karma is cooler.
It is okay. I mean, you know, because, you know, you have the whole Kong, King Kong, you know, and then, you know, of course, King Kong Bundy, who, you know, a lot of people didn't like. But still, it's a Kong.
Yeah.
And then to have it in a female version, it was definitely awesome. So, yeah, those are both great names, actually.
I think there was a Japanese wrestler, maybe Aja Kong, I think, was somebody. And then, like, so there's, like, some kind of lineage with the Kong name, like, where if you have Kong in your name, it's a nod to other people or whatever.
Maybe in another, you know, maybe I'll come back sometime as, you know, Chuck Kong. Minister Kong in the house.
I saw her wrestle one time. I saw her wrestle.
Did you really?
Live at a
here in town?
Yeah, Booker T show. She came into a reality of wrestling show and wrestled a match. And it was
sweet.
Sick. Yeah.
Hey, man, are they still showing that on, like, some channel? Wait, is it WB?
The CW?
Or, yeah, is it on the CW right now, dude? The reality of wrestling?
CW. I think it's on the CW, huh. But they might have moved it to that other channel. There's some kind of, like, I forget what the channel
is. A secondary channel?
Getting a notification here. They might have moved it, but I know that they're growing, dude. Like, it's not going anywhere. Booker T's stuff is going to be big. And I think that, honestly, like, I think that in the next, like, year or two, something like AW, I wouldn't be surprised if there's, like, another company. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a third American, like, big company. From everything that I've read online, like, it's not hard to believe that somebody else could fund another big wrestling show. Is it too much? There's a lot of wrestlers, dude. There's a lot of fucking people that could wrestle on TV.
I mean, there's a big saturation of wrestling right now, too. Like, I mean, and now with the recent purchase from Tony Khan with ROH, I mean, who knows what's in store with that right there. But you're right, Kevin. There is a place for everyone that's good out there right now. There's a place for them on TV somewhere. Because that's how much wrestling is on TV right now.
Yeah. I think that with Booker T was with Paul Bosch back in the day, and that's like his loyalty lies to like what this Houston wrestling was kind of like. And I don't know what his plan is, but just looking at what he's done with the company over the last couple of years, like he's trying to make this really family-friendly version, probably what like Houston wrestling was like when you were a kid and stuff, Chuck, you know, like what he's trying to make that for Houston. For Houston again, just specifically, and have like a big local following or whatever to be the
biggest.
He kind of is the biggest Texas promotion, like versus like GCW. I think they, I don't know if they're based out of Dallas or if they're based out of the North, but I think Booker T is like one of the biggest Texas promotions.
Yeah. Well, I hope he is able to accomplish what he's trying to do with that. Also on this card, we had Rob Van Dam, who, you know, has been around for many, many years, but he was making his TNA debut. So you can clearly see what's going on here, okay? They're trying to promote. This is their first night on a Monday night. I mean, why they did that, I have no idea. They had no business going on Monday night against the fucking evil Vince McMahon. Really, they didn't. They would have been much better off putting this on, you know, on Thursdays, the way they used to be and shit on Thursdays. But no, they had to go and, you know, I mean, I think it would have drawn more people maybe if they would have done that. Who knows? But it was a failure anyway. But they had Rob Van Dam. Go ahead.
Was it like they were just, were they just trying to pick up right where they left off? They were trying to start the Monday Night Wars like immediately again? They were like,
it seemed like that's what they were. Yeah, they were trying to get Monday Night Wars going on against WWE. And, I mean, it just, you know, basically you were reading a lot of things at the same time that all this was going on that people weren't making, they weren't making the payroll either. Like, there was always complaints. I remember I would read the dirt sheets and shit a lot back then, and there was always complaints about wrestlers from TNA not getting payroll, not getting paid, and all this and that. And shit. But, I mean, they didn't have the money. They were having to pay fucking Hulk Hogan and all them.
That's
so
fucked up.
I'm sure they didn't come cheap, you know, all them guys and shit. Now you got Rob Van Dam making his TNA debut, who defeated Sting in just 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And so, of course, post-match, though, Van Dam was assaulted by Sting with a baseball bat. But that is what happened on that. And then you had Eric Young, who was recently, I guess, a year or two ago in WWE for a little bit. He had a minute there. He defeated X-Pac.
There you go.
In just 72 seconds. So you had one 10-second match, one 72-second match, and you're starting to notice here that there's a lot of, you know, older cats here. Even though it was, you know, quite a few years ago. This was, what, 12 years ago? Still, you know, you got Hogan. You got Flair. You got, you know, Rob Van Dam. Sting.
Yeah.
X-Pac. And
I've watched
so that,
old TNA, the production wasn't as bad as, like, what it ended up being. Like, back then, it did look like WCW. Like, they would do their shows, and they had pretty big crowds. It wasn't as big as WWE crowds, but the production wasn't as bad, and it looked like more like WWE, I guess. It started to change, became total nonstop action, and, like, or whatever, and, like, and they just can't get the formula right with how they present the show. That was always there's no way they were going up against. I was thinking about this earlier watching AEW because AEW looks like WWE because a bunch of dudes who used to work at WWE fucking work it. But the same thing was the case at TNA.
Yeah.
But it was only a couple of dudes who had say-so, I guess. Maybe that was the difference. Like, it was like Hulk Hogan and fucking whoever was running the show, Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah. Speaking of Jeff Jarrett, though, he was also on the card. You had Beer Money, which was Beer Money Incorporated, by the way, which was James Storm and Robert Roode.
Yeah.
They defeated Jeff Jarrett in a handicap match. And, wouldn't you guess that, they had a special guest referee for that, special referee, and it was Mick Foley. So again, TNA was trying to become WWE fucking light or something, it seems, with this. But that's exactly what happened there. And Jeff Jarrett took an ass beating that night in a handicap match. It was a good thing coming for him. He needed that ass beating that he got that night. And then you had, of course, the big match, which was a repeat of the opener, which was Abyss and Hulk Hogan defeating AJ Styles and Ric Flair in a no disqualification tag team match. So that's what happened there. But yeah, that was 12 years ago. Something that probably should have never happened. They should have never gone up against WWE like that. Let's see here. The rating for that show got them a 1.5, and then the replay got a one rating. So they did a decent rating, I guess. I mean, I don't even think WWE is doing 1.5s right now. But there's so much more avenues, though, to watch TV on now. I blame that on the ratings. The ratings aren't what they used to be, obviously, because, there's so much streaming going on.
Yeah, it's just way easier to not have to have cable. Let's put it that way. We on Fatal 4-Way don't condone any legal streaming or anything, but it's just really easy to not have to have cable anymore.
Yeah. I mean, with the invention of Roku and all that shit, I mean, it's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely you can subscribe, but you can't. You can subscribe to Hulu to watch WWE, but it's not the full experience. And you have to subscribe to Hulu and Peacock. This is how messed up it is, bro. You do not get, like, new episodes on Peacock. Like, you have to wait, like, it's, like, 2 weeks or maybe 6 weeks or something. Like, that's how far back Raw and SmackDown is. So you don't get weekly Raw and SmackDown. You have to have Hulu, which is next day. You have to – and cable is such a ripoff, dude. Like, and they're in bed with all these motherfuckers. They know exactly what they're doing. They're getting the cable money and the Hulu money and the Peacock money and the fucking premium live event money. Whatever the fuck they want to call it.
Yeah. They're getting all the money, man, and they're not even giving us the product that we deserve. It's like, it's
yeah,
fucked
and
up.
You got to fucking buy it from five people, dude. Isn't that crazy? And you don't
it's
get
a bunch
what you
of
want.
Horseshit.
It's really, that's bullshit.
Yeah, it's a bunch of fucking horse shit right now, and I'm not happy about it, but that's what it is. And it seems like they fucking have coached us. Or have, like, prepared us for this in a way. I mean, I don't know. I'm conflicted. Like, sometimes I watch it, and I'm like, why the fuck am I even watching this?
When they had the WWE Network, they had, I was cool with it. Even if the Raws were late, like, I was cool with it. Because I didn't, Network was so cool. Then they took that away. They gave us this shiny new toy, this badass app. WWE Network, I got the most money out of that app, out of, like, a lot of apps I've used. And fucking shit. I've watched so many pay-per-views, so much shit on that. And I know it's all on Peacock, and I'm fucking boycotted, dude. I don't want to use that shit because they took it all away. They fucking edited it. They fucking watered it all down. It's crazy. It's like if Kanye put out an album and it was really badass for like 10 years. And then he like changed all the songs after it was like a hit, like platinum album, you know, instead of like, he does the opposite. He'll give you an album and like add to it. But no, he like, it'd be like them changing a fucking album you love or something. Sucks.
I never really watched much of the network, but I did watch more of the network than I do of the Peacock. The Peacock, I straight up just watch it for the pay-per-views or whatever the hell they're called now, PPLs or whatever the fuck. But that's it. Like, I don't go back and look for shit, you know. On the network, I used to watch some of the documentaries every now and again. And I remember going back and watching when they were fighting, you know, like when they were fighting hand-to-hand combat, whatever the hell they called that shit back in the 90s with JBL and all that crap. I did go back and watch that. And like that era of wrestling, but that was also on the network. Since I've had the Peacock, which is like, you know, from when its inception, really. Or no, I don't know if it was since its inception, but since the merge with Peacock, I've not used it at all, like except to watch the pay-per-views.
Right.
That's it. I
Same.
Mean, fucking, you know, really watch very much wrestling anymore unless if I have to. But
yeah.
So let's see. So that was that, right? So let's see. Also, 12 years ago today, the very same night, Raw from Portland, Oregon, Vince McMahon defeated none other than John Cena.
Oh my God.
In a no DQ match. You fucking believe that? We were talking just a couple of weeks ago, bro, about Vince McMahon and his first match that he beat Hulk Hogan, remember? And now Hulk Hogan is in a match that same night with Ric Flair on another network. And he's, you know, Vince McMahon is beating John Cena, his biggest star on TV in a DQ match. Thoughts?
This wasn't when Vince was wearing a do-rag, was it?
No, I don't think so. Although, maybe it was. I don't think so, though. He was all jacked up and shit.
You know what's funny is that, like, Vince, John Cena, and Hulk Hogan have all been seen wearing do-rags. All of them dudes rock the do-rag.
Huh.
There's something there. I wore a do-rag in high school for a day.
I did.
Yeah, it was comfortable. But anyways, I digress. No, I mean, so Vince, it's such a Vince move to, like, Hogan's going to be on TNA? Oh, well, I'll do a match. I'll come out and I'll wrestle. Everybody wants to see the Mr. McMahon in the ring. You know, and like, it's like, he's the biggest, like, in his mind, the biggest draw. He's like, I'll wrestle God if I have to.
It was so funny because he was like the announcer and he was like a very good, like,
what, 30 years before that?
Yeah.
He was the announcer.
Yeah. He was so good.
Yeah.
And then he was like, nah, man, fuck it. Third. And like, he did roids.
He took him a long time to wrestle, dude. He went for a fucking long time before he ever had his... We were talking about that last week.
Yeah, we were. And it's coincidental that here he is on, you know, on the same night that two of the biggest stars he ever had on his show, Flair and Hogan, are with another company. And now he's, you know, wrestling his current biggest star and beating him.
Yeah,
and it's like that, you said, Kevier.
Self over on his star. That's funny.
He thinks he's the biggest fucking star.
I just thought of a great idea later. I'm going to try to remember it later. Let's keep rolling.
I know how that goes.
What else did he bust out against TNA that night?
Let's see. No, there's not much else. Let's see. That's all I have for that night. However, I do have an interesting note here that this is the last time that Vince McMahon has won a match. However, he's only had two matches since. And that was Bret Hart, a loss to Bret Hart at WrestleMania 26 and a no contest against CM Punk in October of 2012. After that, I don't know.
I could whip Mr. Man's ass.
I'm right sure now. You could.
Probably not. No, Vince would probably still beat my ass, dude. If I tried to fight Vince McMahon right now,
Vince is the ultimate boss.
Yeah, he's got like M. Bison energy.
Remember, he was super skinny and like he came out like with Stone Cold, like when Stone Cold, he was super buff.
If they made another Street Fighter movie, they could cast Vince as Bison.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Years ago.
Yeah. No,
so
I don't
let's
know.
See here.
I could definitely beat up Tully.
You know who I think you can beat up? You could definitely beat up Reggie.
I can't beat up Reggie, dude. That dude's slippery. He'll wiggle out and do a bunch of flips.
He'll wiggle out. Oh, shit. How do you think you'd stack against someone like, let's see, that used to come out with his coffee cup and Vince was trying to turn him into like an announcer for a while? He was married to the chick from like American Idol or some shit. What's that guy's name?
David Otunga?
Yeah, there you go. You think you could beat up him?
Hell no. David Otunga was
the guy is stacked.
Dude, David Otunga is the most athletic motherfuckers they probably ever had.
Okay, I'm going to go on the record right now and say that none of us can beat up any fucking old wrestler.
Yeah, any wrestler. No
way. There's no way.
Like, even Gilbert could probably pull some shit out. Like, if I had to fight Gilbert, he could fucking grab me and, like, stretch me.
They would beat the shit out of us.
Yeah.
I'm in agreement. I concur, Ricky. I definitely concur with that shit. But you know what? Twelve years ago, 12 fucking years ago. Or was that? No, this was 11 years ago, I guess. Yeah, 11 years ago. Shelton Benjamin worked the dark match prior to a SmackDown taping right here in Houston, Texas, baby. You know, Shelton's a Houstonian, you know. He lives here. He lives with his mama up down the road over here on Kirby Drive. he had been absent from Ring of Honor for the past few months. But he actually returned to Ring of Honor. So I guess the SmackDown taping didn't work out for him on that night. But he eventually found his way back to WWE and is currently with WWE with Uha Nation. No, wait a minute. He's with who's he teaming with right now?
He's still in the Hurt.
Yeah. He's still with that dude, Cedric Alexander. There you go, Cedric.
There you go.
Cedric Alexander.
Crazy, they're still a tag team. I seen that like last week. I was like, they're still a tag team? What the fuck are y'all doing? But I didn't know Shelton was a Houstonian. I just learned that. I didn't know that at all. I don't think I've ever heard.
Him, Carlito. Of course, Booker T. And, the dude from AEW. The Hispanic guy, Mexican guy or whatever. What's his name? You know, man, the guy that was champion for a little bit. He might even still be champion.
Sammy Guevara.
Yeah, Sammy. Sammy G. Yeah, there you go. Sammy Guevara. So, yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up. I don't know if I have anything else here. Let's see. Oh, yeah, okay. We have this is from way back in the day. Man, this is from way back in the day, guys, from when wrestlings were doing at 4-4 ratings, okay? That's huge. I mean, it's huge compared to today. But, you know, back then, actually, it was already on the decline because, you know, in the Stone Cold era and shit, they were pulling fucking 10s and 11s. So,
damn.
But this was a long time ago. 23 years ago, to be precise. On Nitro, Monday Nitro, Goldberg and Ric Flair fought to a no contest. But that's not why the show's remembered, guys. Its infamy stems from the show airing no matches at all for the entire first hour. They aired no matches at all for the entire first hour. It's kind of bizarre, right? But it was an idea that was born from then WCW Booker and briefly its world champion simultaneously, none other than Kevin fucking Nash. This is the fucking death of WCW. In fact, here's an excerpt from that book, The Death of WCW. Nash's first move was to present a Nitro that featured no wrestling in the first hour, none, not a single solitary match. You might recall that Nitro was a wrestling show. Apparently, Nash thought that wrestling on this wrestling show was unnecessary, and he booked the show like this to prove that they'd draw the same rating if they had zero matches in the first hour as they would if there were 10 matches. Of course, in the end, Kevin was essentially right because the show still did a fucking 4-4 rating, which was consistent with the Nitro ratings at that time. Unbelievable. But unfortunately for WCW, Raw is War also stayed consistent, and they still beat their asses with the 6.4 rating. So that's how that one goes. Kevin Nash being in charge of a wrestling promotion. I don't know. But that's what happened. And that was 23 years ago today, guys, that that happened. So let's see here. 17 years ago today, at a SmackDown taping in Roanoke, Virginia, fucking hillbillies, pardon me, inbreds, but I digress. WWE champion John Bradshaw Layfield blew up the John Cena Custom Spinner United States Championship belt and presented new champion Orlando Jordan the previous version of the belt. This begs the question, Kevier. Did you like the spinner title that they had back then for John Cena? Both the WWE Championship, of course, and the, you know, United States Championship. What did you think about those titles?
Kevier is not here. Oh, no.
Oh, he just
So you have to reimpose. You have to redo the question.
Just real quick.
For Kevier.
I had to
All right. So John Bradshaw Layfield blew up the John Cena Custom Spinner United States Championship belt and presented champion Orlando Jordan the previous version of the belt, which begs the question, Kevier, how did you feel about the spinner belts that John Cena brought about to the wrestling world, starting with the U.S. title?
I just watched this thing about the spinner belt, kind of, and how it's like the most hated title belt ever. and there's like things about it, like after because Cena made it, and then after a while, other people had it, and it like at some point it stopped spinning, but they never like addressed it. Like they made it so it didn't spin anymore, but they still used it, and people hated that belt. And so I wasn't watching during this era, but and I think last week we were talking about Orlando Jordan, and
we did.
It's just like JBL like was like one of my favorite heels. I did watch a lot of what JBL did, but I didn't see this part. You know, we all know he's just a heel in real life too.
Yeah,
but then I don't know. The belt itself, like, I pretty much hate it, too. It's not the coolest belt. It's one of the shittiest belts. And their current belts are right there next to it. The current belts, too.
This is off on a different tangent. My favorite belt is, like the original, like, Intercontinental Championship belt.
Yeah.
That and the World Championship belt was pretty bad.
The one that Stone Cold had?
The one that Stone Cold had.
And The Rock?
Yeah.
The Winged,
like back in the
Winged Eagle. The Winged
yeah.
Eagle is the most loved belt.
Yeah.
And the Big Gold. Those are the top two belts. And then the Intercontinental is probably the third.
And the...
What do you think, Chuck? Real quick, what's your favorite belt?
Well, it doesn't have to necessarily be real quick, but yeah, my favorite belt is probably the Big Gold. I would say the Big Gold. And then WWE belt with the double, the eagle and shit. I thought that was badass too. And then I also like there was a title that Ric Flair used to carry around way back in the day. And I want to say, I'm not sure if it was the North American title or the, what did they call that shit? It was a regional title, okay, from like a territory or something like that. And it may have been the Mid-Eastern title or something like that. And it had a fucking U.S. on the front. Just a big – it was a red title with a gold United States on the front. I thought that title was badass.
Yeah.
And I always wondered why they didn't use a title like that as the, as the American title or the U.S. title.
I think you're right. I think that was the Big South Wrestling title.
Yeah, you remember that title, man? It had like
United
States on it. I always dug that title as well.
That
one never came through the territories where I was at. But I remember seeing it in the magazines and shit.
The Big Gold was the big belt, the big WCW belt that Ric Flair
had.
Right. That one. Always really badass. I always like the Intercontinental.
So whenever we always talk about the invasion angle, or the past few weeks we talked about it a lot, and whenever it came in, that's one of the main things I was so excited about.
Yeah.
Is that they like brought the big gold belt into the picture too, and I was like, oh shit, like the other world title. Like that was the coolest aspect to me, is that there was two world titles now, and that the other one was really badass too. Like I was like, fuck yeah. And The Rock, like my favorite world title champion, like world heavyweight champion, was The Rock. The Rock fucking held that belt for a while and did a badass job with it. I digress.
Speaking of The Rock, man, it was because of him that they came up with SmackDown, obviously. You guys all know that, right? Because he always used to say, I'm going to lay it to smack it down, or the smack it, yeah. The smack it down, I think he would say. Smack it. I'm going to lay your candy asses out. Or he was going to lay the smack it down. Okay, so it ended up being called SmackDown, the show. And so here lately, you've got Roman Reigns. I had a brilliant idea here. And I forgot all about it, though. Otherwise, I would have noted it on the show. But nevertheless, it's still a brilliant idea. At least I think so. I know it would be a hated idea, but fuck it. I'm going to spill it out anyway, guys. So, we have The Rock and SmackDown. The show is now called SmackDown, and it has been ever since it started 22 years ago or however long that was. But now you have Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns is going around telling everybody how he's going to smash them. So I propose that they should call SmackDown, change the name, and it doesn't have to be, permanently, but at least for storyline purposes, I think it would be cool, and it would definitely troll some fucking people if they turned it into SmashDown in honor of my tribal chief.
No, it's not a bad idea, dude.
What do you think? Should I tweet that to Roman Reigns and maybe he'll retweet it?
Something. I don't know if SmackDown is the name, but yeah, renaming it does sound cool. And renaming it for Roman sounds kind of cool for Heat. Like, that would be really fucking cool.
Because he's going to smash him. He smashed Brock Lesnar this weekend, and we're going to get to that here momentarily. But yeah. SmackDown. Maybe not SmackDown, but I think it would be cool to, if they're gonna move the time and change the times around and shift everything, maybe Brock should pass the torch. But how long is Roman gonna be there? Who knows? You were saying, Kevin?
No, I don't know. Like, on the other hand, they don't want to change the name because they want a show to have longevity. Like, so that they always talk about how Raw is the longest running episodic television show. Like, they've had, that's like an accolade for Raw. And, like, SmackDown's, like, right behind them. Like, they're like, trying to do that with SmackDown, too. We have the two most, like, longest episodic shows on television history.
Right.
So they're not going to change anything. But, yeah, we don't need more news. Change something on the current one. Fuckers.
You know, I mean, I remember Dell one time. He called in. Shout out to Dell, by the way, who's driving from Norman, Oklahoma, down to Rockport, Texas right now. But I remember one time he called in and he said the hell, I lost my train of thought on that, man.
I sure
the fuck did. What's that?
Dell has said some shit.
Yeah, and I lost my train of thought on that. But but I do have Dale. He's not on the line now, but I do have him on tape, and that's a great highlight here, Dale. But so let's take a little commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap and shoot the shit for a little bit. We're waiting on Albert to get here. And I don't know, we might even just jump into the WWE report. There's a little bit to talk about WWE. And then Kevye and Ricky will break down the Revolution for us.
Oh, God.
That was badass.
We'll talk about it. I don't have the breakdown. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you don't have to. You just break down what you saw, bro. No, do not feel pressured, bro. Trust me, man. I mean, you're going to tell us what you witnessed and what you thought
of
it.
That's one
of
the most
matches
on that card that it would take 2 hours to run through the whole thing.
I would imagine, man. I was kicking myself in the ass when I read the results Sunday night. I was, oh, my God, I missed a fucking doozy. A real doozy. And so we're going to get to that when we come back on the other side of this break. So stay right where you're at. And Albert Inspected is also scheduled to join us. So stay right where you're at. And we'll be right back after these words on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
You had to answer, what's Dan Severn up to these days?
Last I heard, he was just walking around with a wet gray t-shirt. Around town,
yeah. going from city to city with that music playing in the background.
Wrist tapes up.
Ding, ding,
ding, he's like, hey, y'all sell wrist tapes? And you like walk into a Walgreens, you sell wrist tapes? They're like, no, sir, sorry.
It's like a buff fucking Freddie Mercury. I guess.
He is the buff Mercury. Dan Severn's probably one of our favorite
wrestlers. We have
that's
to
do
a
song
here.
Fire Cigar Studios in Houston, Texas. You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
Yo, this is Kevier West. You're listening to us live on the Fatal 4-Way Podcast. Coming to you Tuesday nights at 9 on the World Generation Podcast Network. You can check us out on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Planet. I'll be here every week being the mediator, the friendly baby face, the all-knowing, well, no, that's the Swami Christian, but I digress. Tune in every week at 9. We'll see you then.
Imagine being Dan Severn's kids and you touch the thermostat and the AC thermostat and this song starts fucking playing and you see this guy like walking down the hall with a fucking great t-shirt smoking sweat.
I think when he gets mad, like the hairs in his mustache like stand up, like they get like, because they perk up, like, they turn extra black and everything. Yeah. I wouldn't fuck with that dude.
There's a few wrestlers. There's like 10 shooters that I could think of, but that's one that I would not fuck with.
I like one of the fucking dudes that like if you walk up to him, he cuffs him, and he'll like punch you with his mustache. He doesn't have to lift his arms. His mustache is like fucking, he's a fucking Popeye.
Fatal 4-Way Radio in the Hizzle. Got Kevier West and Ricky with me tonight. Guys, I just laid it down on y'all, man. This is my latest beat that I made. I call it Funkified Beat. Got that. I was inspired by the whole thing on the Super Bowl, you know, with the whole West Coast act that they had, you know. I was really moved by Dr. Dre and all them, so
sure.
I decided to come up with a little bit of West Coast shit, because I love that shit, you know. I was so fucked up when by the time I finished that, guys, I was like literally hanging onto the keyboard, man, fucking almost drooling. No lie. It was like 6:30 in the morning. I'm like, man, you gotta put it away. It's not gonna get any better, believe me. You ever work on something to where like it's not what you fucking like? It turned into something totally different than you thought it would be. You overthink that shit, man, and it's like, you gotta stop at some point, bro. So, anyway, that's all that. But welcome back to the show. Fatal 4-Way Radio. We got some new things on the horizon here coming up. Of course, we're waiting on Albert Infected to show up, so we'll just go ahead and move along without him for now. He'll catch up with us here shortly. So let's go ahead and do the WWE
and
report.
And now, Pro Wrestling Planet presents this week's WWE report. Presented by Internet Radio Zone's Minister of Sinister.
Oh. Very much. So we had SmackDown this week. It's Sami Zayn, man. He opened up the show with a match against Ricochet, and Ricochet won the match. Of course, Sami Zayn can never get a fucking break. So that was that. Sami Zayn cut a promo at the end. He does such great work, man. He does such great fucking work. And it's like, at what point are they going to turn him babyface? I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. So that was that. That's how that started. And then we had, Carmella and Queen Zelina versus Naomi and Sasha Banks. And that's when I fell asleep, guys. Friday night, I'm trying to watch SmackDown, and I fucking fall asleep. Two matches, second match in. It's just fucking Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal and Shanky, or with Shanky. I mean, but I digress. And then, of course, you know, the whole Queen Zelina thing and Carmella. It's just, I mean, my cousin, God bless her, and I love her dearly, but, man, you know, and she's on the wrong brand or something. She should be with her husband right now. That's what I think. But I digress. Kevier, Ricky, you guys with us?
Yeah, we're here. I'm thinking about this like the I'm taking in what you're I'm picking up what you're
Yeah, I mean, I know you didn't watch.
I mean, well,
and I mean, neither did I. I was asleep. In all fairness,
and like you say, you were asleep, and like so, you know, we were gonna. I was gonna make an announcement tonight, I guess, just a formal announcement on the show, and I feel like it would go better before we get into the WWE report because it's kind of tied. It's kind of WWE. It's kind of tied to WWE.
So let's go with Kev Ye and his announcement.
Right.
So let's go ahead and get the give him some applause. What a major announcement.
Major announcement. Just like a certain Texas rattlesnake, I feel like I need to take my ball and go home for a little while. I'm going to step away from the show. You know, kind of much like Christian, I think me and Christian haven't talked, but I think me and Christian might be going through the same thing where you get really jaded by
the product,
by what I'm actually watching. And so I was telling Chuck and, you know, I told him earlier and I was like, just every week I'm like watching this show and I love wrestling, but. And it's not that the show makes it a chore. It's that the fucking product is a chore. Like, watching WWE Raw and WWE SmackDown sucks to me. So, and I've tried to justify it for a long time for you guys and try to see the best in shit. But, like, WWE just, like, for me, it doesn't work. And I was thinking, and really it's AEW, too. Like, a lot of it, like, doesn't work. Indie wrestling, going and seeing a wrestling show, that's cool. I love wrestling. But I was telling Ricky that I don't even like watching a whole wrestling match. And so what place do I have, like, sitting here talking about wrestling if I can't even fucking watch the shit, you know?
Fairness, man. I mean, you know, you got to do what you got to do for you to keep yourself healthy, bro. You know, I don't want you to be here pouring something here that,
like,
you know, you're not even feeling, like, you know?
It's not a stress on me doing the show, dude. I love talking to you guys. It's just that I also have other things going on. Like I told you, I got a kiddo, and she's getting bigger, and I got two bands now, and they're both seem to be gearing up and getting more serious. So I'm gonna kind of concentrate on those things for a while. And like I told you, I'm not gonna leave forever. But really, I'm gonna keep watching wrestling like I do right now, where I just kind of read and wait for something cool to happen. I did watch some wrestling this week, and I did enjoy.
Well, I'll tell you what. Kevier, just to make it easy on you, man. I mean, we have look who's joined us now, Albert Inspector, just in time.
What? Oh yeah.
Albert Inspector, just in time. Getting
Kevin's
shit on by spring break.
I came in right in. Happy spring break, everybody. I came right at the right time. Kevin's pouring his fucking heart out. I'm not glad. I'm sad to see you go, Kevin. And I know you're going to be back soon enough. So, hell yeah. Who do we have on tonight? Go ahead, Kevin.
It's just
Ricky,
me, you, and Kevier.
Ricky.
And Ricky.
Oh, Ricky. Okay, so it's a true Fatal 4-Way.
No big
it's
talk. Now they're in the lockout.
So
right,
Kevier has an ironclad contract and can come back anytime.
Kevin, we wish you all the best in your future endeavors. And if we see you pop up on another podcast or radio wrestling show, then we know what happened. But no, of course, it's like Kevin.
So that's the thing, bros. Like, really, I love Fatal 4-Way, and I love the history that we had. I'm not going to be too corny here. But I've been approached by some, not like another established group, but like friends of mine. They're like, let's do a wrestling podcast. I'm like, I'm on a wrestling podcast, bitch. Why don't you ever call mine? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so
that's why the other one.
No, and I'm like, man, fuck y'all. And I don't even – what I was saying previously was I just don't even want to talk about wrestling for like a month. That sounds cool to me.
Yeah, you know, and that's what Chuck said a few years back. I'm sorry, that's what Minister of Sinister said a few years back. He was like, dude, we can't fucking do wrestling all the goddamn time. We do like four wrestling shows on the goddamn thing. That's why the other we're gonna do another wrestling podcast, and I did do a wrestling podcast while I was doing this one too back in 2017. And it was just me doing a fucking recap and me rating everything. And it was just too fucking much. I think I did like 3 weeks of it. And I was like, fuck this. This is too much bullshit. One wrestling weekly podcast is enough for me. And on top of everything else I've got going on.
This does a lot. Chuck, like everything you do for the show, it's a lot, bro. Like I know what it's like. I've tried to get podcasts off the ground. You do a great job of the show. It's nothing related to the show. It's really just like,
thank you.
Fucking take a break and do some other shit.
Oh, I understand, brother.
Production-wise, totally. Like, and I love the group of guys, and I hope Christian comes back, and, you know, we'll all be together again one day.
This is not goodbye. It's just so long.
My point was, and I cut off the WWE report just to say this, is that it is kind of WWE's fault that I'm leaving, and it is the current state of wrestling's fault that I'm leaving, because it's obviously not good enough. And I've said this multiple times in the last, like, 2 months, 3 months on the show. Something is wrong where they have, like, fans like us who are big fans, and they can't please us.
Yeah.
And then it was making me think, like, it's like a breakup where I'm the guy saying, like, it's not you, it's me. Maybe it's not you, it's me. And I'm breaking up with you. Look, maybe I just don't like wrestling anymore right now or something, you know?
Yeah, I feel you on that one, because all we've done for the past 2 years since we've been back is we've just been shitting on the product the whole time. But you know what, dude? Like, it's funny because, you know, WWE especially, and they don't say this out loud, but they do sometimes. You have, like, WWE spokespeople, Bruce Pritchard, you have Vince McMahon, you have, you know, various other wrestlers that just make these little snide comments. They blame everything on the dirt sheets. They blame their fucking product sucking on dirt sheets. It's really fucking weird. A part of it. I don't blame their product sucking on it, but they blame, like, this leaked out, so now we have to do this because blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, just fucking do it. Fucking movies leak all the time. You know what I mean? Like, everything fucking leaks nowadays. It's the information age. And so now every time any little fucking detail about what you're going to do leaks, you're going to go back and change it. Yeah, it's fucking stupid.
Interesting. But, you know,
go ahead. Go ahead. No, that was it. I was going to say, because just so, like, you know, like, we're not getting a decent product because they're trying to, they're trying to, like, keep us on our toes and keep us guessing but in turn, they're just, like, doing bullshit, like, dropping storylines, you know, just random shit that they're doing, like, Veer Mahan, like, it's just, like, they're keeping that going for some reason, like, and that's cool. But they're hiding. They're blaming that on the dirt sheets because they're like, not the dirt sheets, but they're blaming that on social media because it's like a running gag now, right? So the whole Veer Mahan thing is like, and I'm going on a tangent here. The whole Veer Mahan thing is like, hey, well, everybody's laughing at it. Let's just keep doing it and see how long we can do it. Ha ha ha. That's the reason that they're giving everybody, but the real reason is the fact that they have nothing for this guy creatively. So it's just, you know, it's a weird relationship that WWE has with the internet right now.
And I mean, it affects me greatly too, because sometimes it just becomes a fucking chore to even read about this shit. Like, I was talking on the show just a few moments ago, you know, we're into SmackDown, two matches in, and I'm asleep already. I mean, Carmella and Queen Zelina versus Naomi and Sasha Banks, who, by the way, Naomi all of a sudden was taken out of that storyline that she had going on with Sonya Deville. I mean, like, there was never anything really conclusive. What, she slapped her on TV a week or two ago? I mean, what kind of shit is that? What's-her-face had been tormented, terrorizing Naomi for a good part of fucking the last 4 or 5 months, I guess.
Right. Yeah,
and
you're
so,
exactly,
I mean,
right. And
you
know what?
WWE is also notorious for having, like I said, you know, months ago, and even a year ago, 2 years ago, they have too many hands in the pot. So they have, like, all these writers, they have Vince McMahon, they have Bruce Pritchard, they have, like, you know, they don't call them bookers anymore, but they have, like, the head producers and shit, and everybody's got something, and they're all just – they have their hands in the pot, and they don't all agree with the shit. They're like, oh, no, we're not going to do this. And Vince McMahon's like, yes, we're going to do this. We're not going to do that. We're going to change this, blah, 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 and they change it nightly. And so the product suffers, and they don't realize that, you know?
Indeed.
Yeah.
So, Kevier, man, I got to thank you, though, for all the great fucking laughs we had on here, man. I mean, we had some great fucking laughs, man. I wish I could have made a reel.
Just like Chris said, I know it's not permanent. I hope that the show, we've come and gone over the years. We've taken breaks and come back and stuff. So I'd like to think that that's where we're standing as we walk away right now. You know what I mean? We'll be back.
Right.
Or I'll be back. Whatever.
I'll be back. Yes. And you will be welcome back.
Like, just to add to like just the last conversation, like, the wrestling. Look at the booking for WrestleMania. Look at what we're about to get into with the WWE report right now, and the booking for WrestleMania, and things like Steve Austin returning and stuff. And I'm watching all these things, and I'm watching the card build, and I just like it. It makes me not want to watch the show. So we'll get into more with the Steve Austin shit later. But like, that's really like what kind of set this all in motion is WrestleMania started building, and I'm like, fuck, dude, like. I don't want to fucking deal with this. Like, I don't want to watch this shit show of a WrestleMania.
Hey, it is an awkward time to stop doing it too, though. Right before the biggest, WrestleMania.
Like, fuck, I care about this WrestleMania. Like, I don't want to watch this shit. I've been telling myself that for like a while, so I don't know. Let's get on with the rundown again.
Kevier cannot take it anymore. We got to get back to the WWE report, he says. But you know what? Albert and I will talk about retooling the show or see where we want to go from here. So, hey, who knows? Maybe this will be the last show for a while. We don't know yet. You'll have to stay tuned to find out next week. Is that right, Albert?
I already fired myself. I'm firing myself and firing Minister from the show. So this is our last show. We're good.
This is our last show.
We're gonna come up with something. Maybe we'll. We're gonna. I'm gonna come up with some ideas. Chuck, you come up with some ideas. We'll throw something together because this Tuesday night slot is good and it's fun and we have a lot of fun here. So let's work something out. We'll repackage Fatal 4-Way. Kind of like maybe we'll bring ourselves into an attitude type era. We'll change the logo to a scratch logo, and we're tired of insulting people's intelligence because the age of superheroes saying take your vitamins and drink your milk is passé, isn't it?
It's very much so passé. I mean, we talked about that shit earlier tonight. With the impact, with the retro segment, it was passé even back then when they were fucking selling us Hogan and Flair on the same night, along with Mick Foley and Rob Van Dam and all that shit on Impact. But I digress, guys. Kevier, you're always welcome back on the show, my friend. Always, man. And we had some great fucking laughs, man. I mean, I really dug that Dusty Rhodes shit you used to... you did with. In fact, I have the clip. You know, when you did
Dusty Rhodes, baby, the American Dream. There's a lot of people that don't like me. There's a lot of people, Christian, and out there in Philadelphia don't like Dusty Rhodes very much. They said his belly is too big, baby. Maybe his hand is too big. But Christian from Philly, I'm coming to Philadelphia, baby. Dusty Rhodes, I'm coming to Philadelphia.
Dusty Rhodes, only a fatal four-way race. Reliving Dusty Rhodes. I swear, man, you fucking, it sounds like Dusty Rhodes. It sounds like Dusty Rhodes.
There's a lot of people trying to do Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, and nobody does it justice, baby. There's only one way. Dusty Rhodes, Ricky does a pretty good Dusty.
I just want to let you know that the computer took your job, Daddy.
Yeah.
The computer took your job.
Let's Ooh. Hear Albert because you know Ooh. He's got one too.
What's your thoughts on Dusty Rhodes?
Man, I used to not be able to stand Dusty Rhodes until I realized how much of a fucking legend he was. Once I became a mark and I realized how much of a fucking asset he was, and in the planning of all, a lot of the shit that I watched growing up, I instantly became a fucking fan of him. I never did like him growing up. I hated him. Why?
You know, I had a lot of plans, baby. I did a lot of things for the NWA and the WCW, baby. Let me tell you something, Chucky. I did it all for you, baby.
And so, Fatal Four-Way Radio.
Oh, shit. You guys fucking cracked me up with that shit. I never was able to do a good
I did it all for you, baby. I did it all for you. I wound and dined with kings and queens, dripping out with diamond poke and being too, baby. The sheep will fall, baby.
Oh, shit, man. I fucking love it. So let me tell you what I'm going to do real quick. I'm going to queue up the we're going to keep going as Kevin's request, because we do have to finish the show, no less. So I'm going to keep going at the request of Kevin, and it's going to be brief. We can still clown around, but my main reason for doing this is because, you know, I got to get a fucking beer. So I got to get up, so I'm going to play this.
And now, Pro Wrestling Planet presents this week's WWE Report. Presented by Internet Radio Zone's Minister of Sinister.
All right. Yes, let's do this. I got a beer now. And this segment here is brought to you by Modelo. Modelo Pina nice. Picante, baby. Have you guys tried these yet, man? Ooh. The yellow can? Oh my God.
It's the big spicy chalada, like the one, like the gas station,
yeah,
like 24
with
ounce.
Pineapple, bro. With pineapple. Man. Dude. And then they got mango and the green one and shit, man. I'm fucking loving these things. And they were out for a while. They were out for a while because of the aluminum can shortage. But, man, they're circling around back. They resurfaced here recently. Oh. And wouldn't you know, I got a fucking fridge full of them hoes. But I digress. And it is time to continue with the WWE report, which was, you know, it was shit, bros. Yeah. Big E. Langston, Big E, and Kofi Kingston versus Sheamus and Ridge Holland in a match that I'm sure no one here saw, and I didn't either. And then it was the big return of Ronda Rousey, guys. She made her SmackDown return, I guess it was, or maybe it was even a SmackDown debut. I don't know that she's ever been on SmackDown before, but she shows up and goes up against Sonya Deville, and of course she won the match. I watched this a little bit of it because I had woke up by then. I was woke. But I got to say, man, I mean, Ronda Rousey just didn't do anything for me with this in the Sonya Deville deal. I saw her, though. She's babyface, trying to be the babyface. But to me, she's not a very good babyface. But, you know, that's how they have her booked right now. Guys, your thoughts on Ronda Rousey and how WWE continues to book her as a babyface?
Well, good Ronda Rousey. Like fucking Brock Lesnar, like in the women's division.
She's like the female Brock Lesnar. You're saying that's a good.
So
that's
Ronda,
a good point.
Ronda, they missed the boat. There's a missing ingredient. Something's not right with the formula, and it's probably Ronda. Honestly, it's her acting and her like not being able to fucking like get in the mind of like a pro wrestler. Me personally, I'm fucking 100% all for Ronda Rousey being a wrestler. Like, I love the idea of her being a pro wrestler. And yeah, I think she could be like a female Brock Lesnar. You know, I fall for that. I'm a mark for that. But no, like she, there's like a barrier.
You're right. There's something missing with her, man. And there is a barrier, and it gets in her way. And then, you know, it's amazing because like all of a sudden the people will turn on her because they see it too.
Mm-hmm.
They see it too. There's something misfiring with her, you know, somehow. Albert, Ronda Rousey, misfire?
I agree, and I totally 100% agree with Kevin. I want to see her more on WWE. I want this to be her full time, which it is her full time now. she doesn't have to be there. She's goddamn got millions and millions of dollars, so she's pretty much just there because she loves it. But, yeah, there is something missing there. It's like it's not clicking. It's something weird. Maybe it's her – it's a little bit of her ring work, too. She relies too heavily on the, you know, the Greco-Roman MMA-style catch-as-catch-can type wrestling. It really doesn't it doesn't transfer over to a WWE ring very well. It does if you're like, you know, Chad Gable or Kurt Angle, you know, because they know how to do it.
Right.
Or even Brock Lesnar too. They know how to work the traditional classic wrestling style inside a pro wrestling style. And Ronda really doesn't. You don't really see her run the ropes too much. You don't see her bumping. You don't see her, you know, top row. It's just very. She has her style, and her style needs a lot of work. Her promos need a lot of work. Her promos seem forced. It's just a bunch of stuff. But I'm not like trying to knock her either, because like I said, I'm a fan of hers. But that's what it is. That's why she's not really. I mean, she's over. She's well known. She's famous, but she's not connecting. It's really strange. It's a weird thing. It's kind of like Titus O'Neil, you know. Titus O'Neil's like famous, but he's always like mid card or below. It's really weird.
And to, you know, to add to what Ricky was saying earlier, I mean, I'm pretty sure she could kick all our asses, and probably at one time in a handicap match.
Yeah, I'd let her. I'd let her do it.
Yes, of course, of course. Because chivalry shall live forever.
If Ronda was trying to kill you, Albert, if Ronda was trying to like fight you and like kill you, you would fight back, and you would still lose. She would kill you.
Yeah. I'd pull her hair and scratch her eyes.
You try to claw her eyes.
God damn it!
Pull some kill shit. You like pop in the eye. You have to do to beat. Hey. That's all you'd have to do to beat her is try to fucking wrestle.
Oh, yeah.
Do pro wrestling moves. And
shit.
Yeah.
Sweet.
If you had some ropes to run, it'd be on point. So Hurricane Rana, that's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one that would kill you. Yeah.
What the fuck to do? Be like, oh, shit. She doesn't kick out of the tin.
Screaming on the mic, yeah.
For old time's sakes, Kevier, I've got a song for you, buddy. Heidenreich. Well, you were always asking for Heidenreich, bro, so. But I digress. We go to Raw, guys. Yeah, go ahead.
What could have been?
Yeah. Heidenreich, baby. Heidenreich forever. Forever. Speaking of forever, though, we go to Monday Night Raw, then, now, and forever. And, of course, this week's episode was from, it was from The Miz's hometown in Cleveland, Ohio, a real shithole, if you will.
Oh, damn.
Shout out to all our fans in Cleveland, by the way. Daner, Ron and Avery. Yeah, shout out to you guys in Cleveland, no less. But it is a shithole, and you know it. But I digress. So they showed their whole thing and shit with Madison Square Garden. What happened? Did you guys get a load of this? Did you guys watch this shit at all?
No.
Roman Reigns beat the shit out of Brock Lesnar.
Was it on TV? Or was it
was not on TV. It was at the Garden, and they did not show it on, you know, on the Peacock, on the cock. They didn't show it on the Peacock. But they did show the footage on Monday Night Raw in its entirety, no less. So Brock Lesnar defeated Austin Theory to retain the WWE Championship that night. And then out of nowhere, Universal Champion Roman Reigns and the Bloodline viciously attacked Brock Lesnar. They left Lesnar broken and bleeding in Madison Square Garden. Broken and bleeding, I say. So that's how it started out. And it was great footage, guys. It was great fucking footage. And this is why WWE pisses me off so much. Not to start with that shit, but damn it. You know, they can do things like this so fucking good. So, and then just like the rest of it is just shit. You know what I mean? So it's just like what they want to focus into. And it's so unfair, Roman Reigns.
Do you know why the footage is so good, though? The footage is so good because when they shoot at MSG, they're not allowed to use their own camera crews. They have to use the Madison Square Garden camera crews.
Is that and they right? Get, yeah. Wow. Damn, yeah. That's some good good knowledge there, Kevier.
The different production company doing those shows.
Wow, had no idea that happened. Is that the only place where that's so, or do other states
or other venues?
Wow, that's very interesting.
I think that's been in the contract for Madison Square Garden for like years and years, and I think it's part of NBC Universal, I think.
Guys, the first time I ever saw a WWF event was in Beeville, Texas, and I was a kid. It was a long, long time ago. I was a kid. It was before WWE or WWF was even on television for us. Like, maybe if you had cable, you would get it. But it was a Monday night, no less, and it was just an event from Madison Square Garden. And it was back during the day where they had the microphone that dropped down and shit like that from the center of the ring. Yeah. I'm revealing my age and shit, right? It was back in the fucking dinosaur, prehistoric era.
Yeah.
Prehistoric. I was watching with the fucking Flintstones. So Fred and I were watching this shit. And, yeah, man, come to think of it, though, it was probably the same back then because it was at Madison Square Garden. And I remember that was back in the days of closed circuit television. It wasn't even fucking pay-per-views back then, which my, how far we've come now. They're not even pay-per-views anymore. Now there's something else, PLS or PLEs.
They were touring the country back then, right? Is that what you're saying? Because I think they weren't just doing the Northeast. They were trying to do like the entire fucking USA.
Actually, I'm not sure how that worked out, Albert. But I do remember looking into it quite a bit in the early 2000s after I was, became somewhat of an internet darling myself and, was on the internet and shit and looking up wrestling stuff and all kinds of shit. And I was like, man, what about that time I saw that fucking Madison Square Garden? So there I am looking for it and shit. And I never could find anything on it. Never.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Yeah. Just like you can't find anything on me being the minister of sinister on the line.
Yeah.
But I digress, man. But it happened. It happened. I was minister of sinister, damn it. A character over here in fucking Lufkin, Texas. And then I was fucking, I watched that shit, right? I know it happened, but I never could find anything on it. But it was on like C-SPAN or some shit. And then that turned into, later on, that channel became, what was USA, but I think it was US something else before it became USA. I can't remember, but I digress, guys. So anyway, the show continued with Kevin Owens and Seth freaking Rollins, and they got their storyline where they're best friends. And sometimes it just feels like I've watched this shit again because Kevin Owens had that best friends thing with Chris Jericho. Now all of a sudden he's, best friends with Chris, Seth Rollins. And I'm okay with that, right? Best friends, they come and go, but not really. I mean, usually they stick best friends forever. At least that's what they say. But anyway, so we have this whole friends thing, right? So they were going to fight in a match, and they opened up Raw with this match. And this was actually a good match. I thought so, at least. It was a long freaking match, and it was a triple threat. And I got to say, man, it was a fucking badass triple threat match. It was Seth freaking Rollins, Kevin Owens, champions. Shorty G, I'm sorry, Chad Gable, and the fat dude. What's his name? You know who I'm talking about. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that guy. and then also in the match was who else was it? Let's see. It was Otis, Alpha Academy, and then the best friends. Oh, yeah, and RK-Bro. and RK Bro. And it was a great freaking match, guys. At least I thoroughly enjoyed it. It lasted like a long time. It lasted, like, I would say, for at least 45 minutes, this thing. They went to like 3 commercial breaks during the match. It was a good match, I thought, a good hard-hitting match, lots of good spots. RK-Bro emerged victorious. The last sequence was fucking killer. I mean, it was killer. So we had Raw Tag Team Champions Alpha Academy in the ring. Chad Gable comes out. Wait. That's not right. That's not right. I take that back. The last sequence was Orton tagging and punching away at Owens. Then Orton hit Owens with his patented headlock headbreaker for a 2 count. And then Otis runs in and hits Orton with a falling front slam. And then Otis slams Riddle down. All right, and so Riddle, like, I think he goes out of the ring at that point, and then Otis goes to the apron and tags himself in. Otis hits Riddle with a Vader bomb. Yeah, and then by that time, Riddle is fucking done, right? And so Gable tags in, hits Riddle. No, Riddle's still in there. Yeah, Riddle's in there with a moonsault. He takes all these beatings, right? And then he's down and out, right? So then Otis puts Rollins in the corner, and he goes after him. Rollins sidesteps him, but Otis hits the ring post shoulder first. And then Gable gets on the top rope, and the whole thing was really exciting, this finish, man. Rollins crotches him up there. I'm talking about Gable. And then Rollins chops Gable's chest for a while, and he climbs up to the second rope. They did the whole thing where they did a big suplex, right? Otis finally got on, and he suplexed all of them and shit. But then... that wasn't even the final sequence. What the fuck was I doing? Because this match was so long. But the last sequence was so kick-ass, and Riddle got in there and got the win. And it was a badass victory. But I was sure that going into this match that Riddle was going to be the one to take the pin because of the promo that Randy Orton cut at the beginning. He cut a promo saying that they were going to do whatever it took to win the titles back and shit. And so I thought... that maybe Riddle was going to fuck up the deal and lose the match, and then Orton was going to be pissed off, and then we were going to get Riddle and Orton at Mania. But apparently, I don't think that's going to happen. And the reason I'm uneducated on this is because I haven't been following the dirt sheets. And so I find that it makes wrestling a little bit more enjoyable for me when I don't follow the dirt sheets. Like, I'm hearing all this buzz about Stone Cold Steve Austin and how he's going to be at WrestleMania, but I haven't read shit about it. Because I haven't been keeping up with the dirt sheets like I used to. So apparently Stone Cold is going to be in a match. Now they're saying it's not going to happen against Kevin Owens. What do we know about that match? Anybody? Is it going to happen? Or?
What? What? What?
Stone Cold, is that match going to take place with Kevin Owens? Are you up to it?
Did you see the promo video? Did you see his promo that he cut on Kevin? Everybody
I just saw it, actually, not that long ago.
I've not seen that.
It was pretty cool, right? Albert, you thought it was pretty cool?
I thought it was pretty cool. It sounded like it wasn't just – it sounded like his old character when he was like – but yeah. He was like – what he said was either it's going to be a show, a match, whatever, but I'm coming to Dallas and I'm pretty much going to stop a mud hole in your ass. That's pretty much what he said. So hopefully it's a short match.
It's like it's advertised, from what I can take away, is it's like it's advertised as a KO show, but it's really like an open challenge to Steve Austin to come in there and just like start whooping each other's asses. So
I mean,
if Steve comes in there and just
KO
whoops,
fucking beats his ass, so like that's when
I don't know what they're going to do. Ricky seems like he's on the fence about, and like I said, I don't know what they're going to do, but I know that to me, it's kind of like the Undertaker streak or somebody. Now, I'm not a gatekeeper for wrestling, but, and I'm trying not to be, but like, Steve shouldn't do this match. We don't need Steve Austin to come out of retirement.
If Steve's going to do the match, Steve has to kick his ass.
If it's his call, it's not my fucking call. It's Steve Austin's call.
It's been 19 years.
And if he wants to do it, then more power to him.
That's what he said. He said it's been 19 years. Steve has to fucking whip his ass.
Maybe.
It's the way it has to be.
To me...
No, to me, like, it made me, it got me, maybe it's just because it's, like, some old shit, and, like, where I am right now, I was trying not to be too dramatic about it all, but I was like, when I saw this was a thing for real, I was like, nah, man, I don't even want to watch this show.
We're going to watch it.
I'm probably going to watch it.
We're going to watch it.
I'll probably talk to you.
You're going
to
watch it.
I'll be on
that. You're going to watch it.
I'll probably just pick it in for that post-WrestleMania episode.
You're going to watch it. It's customary.
Yeah.
It was like three rock, bottoms, and I was done.
Yeah, it was cool.
And like, now I'm coming back.
But I have to
say, guys. It was bittersweet because I was thinking that the whole time. I was thinking, man, we're going to get something half-assed. Like, I just don't have any faith in WWE to do it right.
I can see what you're saying about it.
I don't have any faith in WWE to do it the right way. And but then again, you know, I had trusty. And if Steve thinks it's going to be cool, then it might be cool. I had never seen.
He wouldn't come back.
I'd never seen Steve Austin do something that wasn't really cool. Actually, like he did, most
he
of the shit he
come
does
back.
Is pretty funny and cool.
He did come back. He's coming back.
I'd rather personally, I would rather see him just come out and maybe beat, you know, Kevin Owens' ass. There's no match. He just beats his ass for a little bit, and then he takes off. Or well, he you know gets a few beers and shit. And then Kevin Owens gets up, and he's there, and Stone Cold is fucking, he turns around, and he sees Kevin Owens there, right? And so then Kevin Owens picks up a hand, and then so they throw a beer at him, and he catches the fucking beer, and then he goes to fucking, shake it, toast Steve Austin with it, and Steve Austin fucking kicks him and stuns him again. And it'll probably be something like that. And I'd be happy with that. Better than a match, I think. I don't think we need to see Stone Cold in a match right now. But, of course, it is his decision. Ricky?
Steve has to lose. If Steve's coming back for one more match, he has to lose technically.
He
and
lost.
He's always said
lost.
That, too. He's the guy that's always said that he's like, that you lose on your way out. That's the way it's always been. You gotta put the guy over on your way out. I've heard him say that a million times.
I'm coming from being like a fifth grader, like letting Steve Austin like as a like character. So I want him to win.
I think Kevin Owens would like to take a stunner and like to get his ass beat by Steve Austin, kind of like Moxley was marking out when Terry Funk put the snake on him. You guys remember that? He was there laughing and shit with a snake on his face. He was marking
the real
out.
The real spot is Steve Austin celebrating after the shit. Like him cracking all the beers and throwing the beers and throwing, like pouring the beers. So that's the spot that they're getting to. So that means that Steve has to win. I think Steve has to win.
Right. Steve has
he's going to win.
No
if there's a match, he's going to win. If there's no match, he's just going to go out there and kick his ass.
There's no way.
Albert, just so he can crack the beers. They have to get that shot at him cracking the beers.
They have to.
Otherwise, it's masturbation, as they say.
Oh, I'm all for it. Sorry.
They got to get that shot.
I'm all for it.
All right, you know what? I think he's going to go to the ring. Well, they're going to do the Kevin Owens show. They're going to fucking have back and forth banter. They're going to start going back and forth, and then they're going to fucking call the match. They're going to fucking call the match right there. They're going to be like, hey, let's do this shit right now. And they fucking ring the bell, and it's just a one-sided quick match. Fucking stunner, and it's over. And then the bell rings again, and that's going to be it. That's going to be Stone Cold's last match. It's going to be comparable to, like, when Bret Hart came back to fight Vince McMahon. Remember that horrible fucking match that happened in 2007? It's going to be like that. Stone Cold's not going to be in his ring gear. He's going to be out there in jeans and a fucking t-shirt. And he's going to have one last match with fucking Kevin Owens. And it's going to be like a minute long, not even. And then that's
it. Shit, his ring gear was jeans and a t-shirt. I mean, it was jorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah,
with a couple of braces, part. With a knee brace.
He wore the little speedo all the time.
What if he grow his hair back? What if he grow his hair back what he's got left and fucking comes out as Stunning Steve? Oh, shit.
That'd be awesome, dude.
We could wig him up even. Put a fucking wig on his ass.
Yeah.
Stunning fucking Steve.
CM Punk wants to come out. Honor gear. I'll come
Hey, we talked about him last week when he was in that era, Stunning Steve Austin. I mean, you could tell even back then he was destined for fucking greatness somehow, some way. He was going to come up with his, and he did. And he did. But that was a good chat there, guys. So Stunning Steve Austin apparently headed to WrestleMania in Dallas, Texas. Which, up until last night, I had no idea it was like 21 days away or something like that. You know, 3 weekends away.
Hey,
had no fucking idea.
Think about this, though. Just real quick fantasy book. Think about what if instead of Steve Austin returning to wrestling to do a match at WrestleMania against Kevin Owens, what if Steve Austin showed up in AEW and did a match against CM Punk? CM Punk versus Steve Austin, 2022 in AEW. I think that would have fucking that's something that would like maybe that's just like two hardcore fanboy booking.
Yeah, cool.
Like shit, that would have shook up some shit. Like him coming, I'm just way less excited for him coming back to. For
Kevin. I am. We'll see. Ooh, watch it.
I like Steve Austin and I like Kevin Owens too, but I mean, you know, CM Punk was fucking really, really, truly great. I thought. You know, during his WWE run, the way he handled himself on the mic, I just thought WWE squandered him, though, by never letting him fucking actually main event. You know, it was Cena. He was lost in the fucking mid-card as a champion. I mean, what kind of shit is that?
And you know what? He's still mid right now. He's still fucking mid. He's mid in AEW.
Fucking mid-carder at best.
So
the Marks have a fucking good case. He's a mid-carder at best. A skinny
And you know what? But he's the most famous fucking popular wrestler of all time, and yet he's fucking mid, dude. Like, he's been mid. He's going to be mid for the rest of his life. You think AEW's going to let him fucking headline a pay-per-view? I mean, I'm not saying they wouldn't let him, but I'm saying, like, even now he probably wouldn't fucking want to. Like, you know, like, fucking crazy how this shit happens. You don't need to fuck. Okay, look, nowadays
you really don't
fucking main event spot.
You don't. I mean, you really don't.
If you have enough
same thing with headlining in a band.
Yeah, you don't need to fuck. If people are there to see you, they're there to see you whether you're on first, in the middle, or fucking last. It doesn't fucking matter. Like,
that's
how
a
it is.
Damn good fucking point because that's a fact, Jack. That's a fact. So shortly after that match, guys, we had Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode versus Tommaso Ciampa and Bron Breakker. And I have to admit, I stayed awake during this match. I watched this match, I should say, because, you know, this was my first time to watch this Bron Breakker guy. And Tommaso Ciampa, I've seen him before, though. But he does have a darker beard now since the last time I saw him, but I digress. So anyway, it was a shit match, but still, nevertheless, I'm not going to say that. It was a good match, I'll take that back, but still, Tommaso Ciampa and Bron Breakker won. But then, shortly after that, it just all turned to shit with Omos and Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz. And, like, these guys, I mean, their storylines are no good, and that's what it is right there with these guys. And then, of course, you had another rematch, and this is where I fell asleep, of Queen Zelina and Carmella versus Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley. I mean, that's where I fell asleep right there, and it's a damn shame because everybody knows how much I like the women, you know? But I don't really care for this Carmella with the whole mask thing. Kevier.
They're gonna make another wrestling game next year. Every year they make these WWE 2K games. They're going to make one next year, and their roster is going to suck ass, dude. They're going to have, like, look at their roster right now. That's the thing. They're going to have, like, a few people, and they're going to have just, like, the lineup that you just listed, Omos and Aziz and Veer, and, like, oh, my God, what have they done?
Yeah. All while they have Finn Balor and shit like that on their card. You know, I mean, you know, on the roster. And Kevin Owens. And then look who all they've released. I mean, makes no sense. Makes no sense. But that's what they're working with. And that's what they're trying to shove down our throats. And, I mean, I'm with you, Kevier. I mean, shit, man. If there was, I swear to, if there was football coming on the weekend of WrestleMania, oh, I'd watch WrestleMania, but on replay when I had time, and maybe even not even then, maybe just highlights. But still, I would watch, you know, but I mean, shit, look, man, it wouldn't be my first priority. I'll tell you that.
No, baseball.
Rick's trying to do baseball talk right now. No.
I mean, you know, if the Astros are playing, you know, for the playoff spot or some shit like that, I'm definitely, you know, if it's like the first games of the season and shit like that, that's a different story.
No, we're in lockout, man.
Yeah, we're in lockout right now, though, so it's really moot. And so, yeah, that's where we're at. So I really didn't watch the rest of it, but I'm anxious to hear about this fucking AEW.
Yeah.
Kevin,
so we watched,
what did you guys watch on that?
We watched a few matches. I went through it earlier today, and then I watched a couple of matches with Ricky. And so we watched the Eddie Kingston match. Eddie Kingston and Chris Jericho was super cool. It was really good. And Chris Jericho's, like, in crazy shape. Like, he's gotten in way better shape just in the past, like, months or some shit. Because everybody was joking about how bloated the guy was or whatever. And then it was cool. So they had this really good match where they're both, like, two heels. But Eddie Kingston's really, like, this underdog heel that everybody wants to love. So that was cool. The whole card was stacked, though. But, I mean, I saw that match, and I saw the Young Bucks, like, tag team match after that or whatever. But the big match that I wanted to see, you know, I did watch the CM Punk and MJF match, and that had some crazy
yes.
storytelling in it.
So tell me about it. I read who won, obviously. CM Punk won the match. But I didn't read any of the details.
They just did some cool stuff. Like, they did where, like, he came out wearing his Ring of Honor gear. They just bought Ring of Honor, so he came out wearing that. And, like, he came out to the music that he used, like, his Ring of Honor music or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think AFI song. If I didn't watch the beginning, I didn't watch the entrances, but I didn't watch Ring of Honor, CM Punk and shit, so I sound like a noob right now, but, like, I'm pretty sure it's an AFI song. But anyway, so then they had the match, and it's like, it's a collar match, so they both chained to each other's neck, and there was, like, a Ring of Honor match that CM Punk had against Raven where they did that, and he was wearing the same ring gear. He was, like, wearing the same gear that he had in that match, in this match. And that's kind of cool. I saw a picture of that. And there was, like, different callbacks to, like, Punk's Ring of Honor thing, and that's because, you know, the story is MJF looked up to him as a kid, blah, blah, blah. And then MJF's been treating Wardlow like shit for months, and he asked Wardlow to give him the ring, and Wardlow didn't give him the ring. He was like, I didn't bring it. I don't have it. And then CM Punk, like, knocked MJF out, and Wardlow pulls the ring out of his pocket and lays it in front of CM Punk. And CM Punk's, like, they're both covered in blood, you know, MJF's passed out. Or that's what happened, is he pulled him back, and he did a GTS, and he landed on the tacks. So MJF was fucked up, and then Wardlow gave him the ring. He put the ring on. He picked him up out of the tacks and just punched him in the fucking face. It looked like he flipped him off, but I think he was showing him the ring. I don't think he actually flipped him off. I think he held up his ring finger and punched him in the fucking face and then pinned him. And that was really good storytelling, dude. That was super cool. Makes CM Punk look great compared to what UFC career looked like, dude. That's my main takeaway. Is, like, this fucking pro wrestler. He is not an MMA fighter. He is a fucking pro.
And you know? Ricky. Were you there were you watching the highlights with Kevin and Ricky?
Did you see that part? Did you watch that part with me? I can't remember if you.
You were watching the highlights. What did you think about these new guys? These guys are new to you.
CM Punk match.
No,
he didn't see that part. We watched whenever he got here. We watched the Daniel Bryan versus Dean Ambrose. Ooh, John Moxley. John Moxley.
Yeah.
And Bryan Danielson, rather. Excuse me. I'm such a WWE mark, dude. It's ingrained in me.
Yeah.
But that was
That's
cool
what they do.
They showed all the footage from their old matches, and then they came out and did their entrances. Both those guys have badass entrance themes and, like, badass entrances. And so then they did this spot. The story in that match was that they, you know, at the beginning of the match, they wrestled, like, catch-style wrestling, like, where they just, like, mat wrestled a lot. And then they did a really cool spot where they were mat wrestling and they rolled out of the ring. You remember that? Where they, like, were down on the ground and they, like, they tumbled out of the ring and, like, Brian fell on top of John Moxley or whatever. And so that was really something you don't usually see. And then they fucking went on to, like, progress and, like, get more violent. And they had a headbutt spot where they're outside of the ring and they just start headbutting the dog shit out of each other. And then they... At the same time, it was really well executed. They pull back and they fucking headbutt each other hard as shit. and then they both fall down. And bro, like, you could see, like, if you go back and watch the shit and, like, back it up, slow it down, whatever, you could see, like, where Moxley headbutts Brian and then, like, sells it and, like, kind of sags. But what he's doing, you can see his wrist. You can see his hand and his tape. And that motherfucker's pulling a razor out of his tape. I swear to God, go back and
watch.
And it's just see when they're doing that shit, you know. This is one of those instances, I think, where you could really see them blading. And so they both blade, and Moxley blades way harder than Brian does. And
sweet.
He's covered in blood. They get up, and they're covered in blood. And they get in the ring, and they start, like, punching the shit out of each other, and they're wiping the blood off. Like, what they're doing is, like, really just wiping all the fucking blood off John Moxley. And then they headbutt the shit out of each other again. And then they go on to, I forget who won that match. I forget who, did we see the finish?
No.
I think we started the show
before
we got to the
finish. Yeah. Albert, did you watch any of this?
No, I didn't. I did see, like, the images of CM Punk, you know, wearing the classic and white shorts, straight edge things, the straight edge X's
the images
inside.
As well.
I thought that was really cool. Throwback to his match with Raven, which I did see the Raven match years and years ago. That was pretty cool.
Hey, so aside from all that, Moxley and Danielson swap wives for the night. Who comes out the winner?
Oh, my God.
Would that be Danielson or Moxley? Okay.
Oh, shit.
Moxley or Danielson switch wives for one night.
Wife,
who's the winner?
My wife's not like the answer.
midway during the swap, they're swapping and
oh
they're
God.
Walking. They're walking down the hall to the other place to where they're going to, and Renee and Bella cross paths, and they decide to have a go at it themselves. That's the true the true winner is them two right there.
Yes.
Everybody.
Yes.
Everybody.
Madness, true madness right there, guys. That
that's the way it goes. That's how those video nasties get started there.
While we're on the horn dog side of things, though, like, we had the match with Jade and Ty Conti, dude. This match is like people have been talking about. And Jade looks so fucking badass in this match. And Ty Conti is like probably my top three. Like, I'd say Ty is probably my number one favorite AEW either, whatever. Hate to say that, you know, female wrestler, whatever. And Ty's the shit. And Jade was way more badass. She fucking, her gear was cool, and she's just super buff. And she's come a long way.
She looks really badass. And she was working out with Danielson. Is that, or I heard, I read that she was working. Is she working out with Danielson, or who is she working out with here recently?
Who else? Like, that's the thing. You work at AEW. You could pick any of these dudes to, like, lean on and be like, "Hey, tutor me, bro."
Right.
Like, shit.
Tutor me, bro. You be my sensei.
That's how the match ended, and we didn't get to it. I just remembered how the match ended. During the Brian Danielson and John Moxley match, they
did the finish. I don't remember who won, but they get up and they're trying to shake hands. They're still fighting after the match. That's what it is. They start fighting after the finish. And fucking William Regal comes out.
Oh, yeah.
William Regal comes down to the ring and fucking makes them. He slaps them in the face and makes them shake hands.
Yeah.
That's how it ends.
So is that the beginning of a new storyline where they start a faction, do you think?
That'd be great.
That would be sick. A tag team with a William manager. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Unstoppable.
Fucking A, man. I'm digging that. And Kev, yeah, I definitely got a question for you as well. Most of the pay-per-view right on highlights. Was it better without Cody Rhodes?
I actually streamed it and I fast forwarded. Like I streamed it and fast forwarded and skipped all the multi-man matches. I did read about those matches, but I didn't want to watch a bunch of matches that had fucking eight guys in them. So there was like three matches that were like that. And I watched the highlights for the Keith Lee match where it was like the ladder match or whatever. But yeah, I couldn't like give a proper review of those matches. Yeah. I just, the only match I really wanted to see was the Bryan Danielson versus John Moxley.
Yes.
And
of
then
course.
I watched
the dog collar.
MJF because it was like a few matches before it, so I got that
right.
One in, and then I watched the.
You think you would have watched Cody Rhodes if you would have had a match?
I mean, probably. Yeah. Like I probably would have.
Yeah.
If there
Speaking
was
of
a,
Cody Rhodes, man.
I definitely would have watched if there was a segment where Cody had showed back up. I would have been all over it. Like they think that could be a possibility, right? There's been talk in the last week or two that Cody, they don't know if he's going to WWE or back with AEW and Ring of Honor or what. And
he just dupes everybody and shows up again in AEW.
Yeah. Props to Cody Rhodes for just being one of these wrestlers who like kind of like Chris Jericho who like can hide his, like people don't know what the fuck he's doing. That's pretty cool.
Right?
Like that's hard.
Hey, you know what? That's a great observation, dude. That's a great observation.
You know, if they're not going to do the whole Seth Rollins Kevin Owens tag team thing anymore, and Kevin Owens is going with Austin, they're going to do their whole thing. My bet is if they're trying to get Cody Rhodes to face Rollins for WrestleMania, that would be the most logical thing that the plan would be right now, or the most logical plan would be, I think.
I would agree. That would be a badass. Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins would be a really good match.
Fuck yeah.
Two heels. If they book Cody Rhodes to be as strong as
you. I would totally book Seth to win that match. That's Seth's opportunity. If Cody comes in as a fucking cocky heel from another company, okay, Cody, you're coming in. You're gonna lose to
you're
Seth.
Coming
first.
Back. You're coming back.
You're gonna
here.
Lose to Seth first, and boom, it makes Seth the fucking big dude again. And then you just separate them. You make Seth win, and then you just separate them from each other, and you build Cody up separately. Whatever. Cody's got his own shit.
Cody already had his own shit within WWE, so honestly,
that's what I would do. I would totally put Seth over. Fuck Cody Rhodes for coming back, and like Seth Rollins has been in WWE, like put him over.
For sure. I would agree with that.
I would have put Seth over Roman a long time ago, too. Anyways, you know, Seth is one of their best wrestlers. Seth is still one of the best wrestlers in the world.
I dig him. I think he's a good wrestler as well. He's one of my favorites. And actually, I'm starting to like that stupid character of his. I mean, you know, but they did look defeated, though, Monday night. I mean, the way they did it, I thought they played their parts very well Monday night.
I might just be
kept. Kevin Owens was just laying down on the side of the steps of the ring while Seth Rollins was walking back, and he just had such a defeated look on his face. It was really cool. It makes you wonder how he's going to get into WrestleMania.
Kevin and I have always loved Seth. Yeah. Like we've always.
He's funny. He was the coolest member of the Shield. He's the coolest one. Something about him.
Personally, I love Dean Ambrose. And he's not Dean Ambrose anymore.
We're just reminiscing on Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
We don't have.
But Seth was my favorite, and I didn't like Roman Reigns at all.
Yeah, that's why he beats Cody Rhodes. Put him against Cody, and he wins. He goes over.
That'd be a great match. Him versus Cody Rhodes would be a great match.
It wasn't all right. That was Chuck's idea.
I'd like to see Charlie that, to be honest. So is that it for the highlights of AEW?
I think so, yeah. I mean, go back and watch the show. I recommend Revolution to people. But I even said earlier that, like, you know, for me, the current state of wrestling, even though this stuff, I feel like I was marking out just then talking about it. But it's like it's hard to watch it all. That was a long show. And like I said, I fast-forwarded through a lot of matches. I probably wouldn't have been able through the whole thing if I'd have tried.
Yeah.
So that's my one takeaway, is that it's a lot of wrestling.
And bro, can you imagine
doing a wrestling podcast, but I fast forwarded through a bunch. So I don't know. I can't do a proper review of it, you know,
and can you imagine, bro, WrestleMania is going to be two nights of that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it almost makes sense not to watch it live. That's just too much fucking time.
Yeah, just watch it the next week, like, over, like, bro, this is how I watch wrestling. I do dishes, and I'll just, like, watch a couple of matches, like, while I do that, or, like something like that. I'm fucking unfolding laundry, like, watching a match while I do
laundry. We used to have, like, huge, like, potluck.
Yeah.
You know, like potluck to go watch, like.
Yeah, no, we'd get a bunch of food, and we'd watch the pay-per-view, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was shitty pay-per-views, like Fastlane and shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe, I don't know. That's why I think it's just me. Maybe it's not the product. Maybe WWE's always been the same, but it's them gaslighting us. When I think of that, they're the ones fucking with us. Don't listen to that shit. They're the ones that are doing bad.
Right. That's what they do. Albert, any thoughts on any of this before we close?
No, other than, like, next week, I guarantee you it's going to be one night.
Oh,
maybe.
Man. I hope they don't continue with this two-night shit. I think it's too much.
I really think it's bullshit, the whole one-night thing. I'm sorry, the two-night thing. It is too much. It's like fucking, it's like 10 hours due to wrestling. It's ridiculous.
But they'll probably continue it to, you know, for the money. The almighty dollar, the greenback, wins every fucking time. The American greed,
right,
is what they call it.
But I don't see, I don't see, like, what they're making besides, like, double ticket sales. But, I mean, I guess, like.
Yeah.
Double ticket sales, double sales, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, double fucking shit for us, the viewers. We get double the shit. While they're getting double the ticket sales, we're getting double the shit. But so on that, we finish off, man. Well, shit.
All right.
Kev, yay. Do we got anything else?
Yeah, boys.
Anything else? Anybody?
No. Thank you. Another thank you to you, Chuck. Thank you again for hosting. And
I'm
Albert
humbled, bro.
For always backing me up on my baby face gimmicks and shit. And like I said, it probably won't be too long of a break. We'll see, boys. I'll stay in touch with y'all.
Please do. And for real, man, I mean, I'm humbled by what you said about me. Thank you so much. But also, man, I mean, don't underestimate yourself. I mean, you're funny as fuck, bro. You brought a lot of madness to this, and I thank you, bro, from the bottom of my heart for being here week after week. It can get exhausting. I know it can. I mean, we've had breaks before, you know, but yeah, man, from the bottom of my heart, bro, thank you, man, and peace to you and your loved ones, and Ricky, peace to you too,
Ricky,
my
Ricky.
Friend. So yeah,
man.
Guys, thanks for, you know, what, 2 years? How long was this run? A year and a half, 2 years? How long have we fucking been doing this shit this last run?
This run over 2 years, I think. I was thinking about that.
Man, that's a hell of a run. That's a hell of a run, man. Big commitment there, man. And I want to thank you for that, Kevier, because you did indeed bring a lot of madness.
Woo!
We've done over 100 shows this time around.
Woo!
That's what we bring to the table each and every week here on Fatal 4-Way Radio. And Kevier, we're going to miss you, man, and we're going to welcome you back with open arms when you're ready to come back. And Christian from Philly, he might be back too. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. In the meantime, Albert and I will hold the fort down, and we're going to see what we're going to do. Maybe we'll do something different. Who knows? We'll see. But stay tuned to the World Generation Podcast Network for that. Let's close ourselves out. Albert, did you have any words that you wanted to say to Kevier?
Kevin.
Before he leaves.
Kevin, let me tell you something. You're a great asset to the show. You're a funny guy. You're an amazing fucking Fatal 4-Way partner here. And we wish you all the best in your future endeavors. And, of course, we'll be on Facebook, keeping up with each other and stuff like that, too. But I hope to see you back sooner rather than later, my friend.
For sure.
Indeed.
I'll be in touch.
Indeed.
That's me. That's me closing myself out. Nothing to plug. You guys all go to hell.
Ladies and gentlemen, Albert Inspected. Albert Inspected with the hell wishes this week, the hell wishes. And thank you so much, Albert, for being here each and every week, man. I certainly do appreciate you as well. Kevier, my friend, close yourself out one last time, brother, Fatal 4-Way style.
Yeah, no, stay tuned for more coming your way on Pro Wrestling Planet on Facebook and Fatal 4-Way Radio, soon to be rebranded as maybe 1v1 Radio. definitely. And just watch out. I'll come on the show to plug my shit that I'm working on instead of the show. I've got two bands coming up. I got the Haulers, and that's one main reason. Our album's coming out soon. I'll touch base with y'all on that, and reach out to the Haulers on Facebook and us on Facebook on the groups, and I'll see you there. I'll be back soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevier West in the hizzle. Applause for Kevier West. Damn it. Do we have the applause? Oh, he's fucking it up. Guys, yeah, thank you so much for joining us here each and every week right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio. We're going to see what we come up with next for you guys. And I want to thank Kevier West once again for being here and his partner, Ricky. Thanks, guys. Love you guys. Peace out. And we'll see you next time right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio. Good night.